with Admiral Cooper on this Friday night, and we're up to picture number 14.
14. Hitler's sister, Paula, or pronounced correctly, Paula. She was pretty important to him up to a point. She pretty well ran the Berghoff until... I'm going to sneeze again. It's doggone allergies.
Go ahead.
We got a lot of
enjoy
pollen.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't ever suppress a sneeze. Not good
for God,
you.
No. But anyhow, she had to hide her identity in the early years of Hitler's politics because he was not well loved by everybody, and it cost her a couple of jobs. And she helped support him when he was a struggling artist. But then he put her in kind of charge of the Berghof, and she was kind of the queen of the over Salzburg until he moved Eva Braun in, and then there was a real clash between the two women, and Eva took over, and Paula moved to an apartment in the city, and she died, I think it was 1960, something like that, and we used to visit the cemetery where her grave is, and her name was on the little marker, and then all of a sudden her name was gone, and they had put somebody else's name over it, but her name is still underneath it. You're not supposed to know about these people, I guess. So,
yeah.
What can I say? Wipe out an entire decade, 12 years, actually.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Number
okay.
15. Yeah. Now, we saw that Leni Riefenstahl was a member of Shark Hunters, a brilliant lady. Ursula Dönitz, who married Günter Hessler, she was a member of Shark Hunters, too, until she died. That was Admiral Dönitz's daughter, and she married Günter Hessler, who was one of the top U-boat skippers, won the Knight's Cross, and I think he got the Oak Leaf, too. And she stayed rather quiet. We'd write back and forth every so often, but not very often. She asked that we not get too involved because she said the pain was so horrible. Her whole youth was taken away from her, and then her father went to prison for 10 years and 20 days. He didn't do anything wrong. The only thing that saved him from the gallows was our own Admiral Nimitz, who testified that Dönitz ran his submarines the way we ran our submarines, so can't very well condemn the guy for being evil right. if we were doing the same thing.
All right, what? I can't figure this out. What's in the bottom of the picture?
With Ursula?
Yes.
Oh, that's her son's head. Or somebody's head.
Well, it would be a good guess that it would be her son's head. But
yeah.
If you look at that head, it's that head is bigger than her head.
Maybe it's a statue.
I never thought of that before. That hair on there. And
yeah.
I see a nose. I see an eye. I see what I think is an ear.
Ear, yeah, sure.
But that's a big head.
Maybe it's a garden gnome.
I don't think so. That hair is too real.
I know.
I mean, compare the size of that head. Anyway.
If the kid is forward in the frame, then he'll look bigger.
Well, I know that. Way forward.
Yeah.
Maybe he kind of got in the way. Just
could have been.
In front of the camera or something. All right. Number 16.
This is a very interesting lady. 16, 17, 18. We'll go through them. You notice she's sitting next to Savitri Devi.
Right.
I probably pronounced it wrong, but that's okay. But Beryl Cheatham was very active in the party decades after the war. This was taken in 1962 at a place called Cotswolds Camp in England. And next to her, Diana Hughes. I think Diana Hughes was the sister of the lady who married Sir Oswald Mosley, I think. I'm not sure. I spent a day visiting with Ozzie Mosley, mm-hmm. their son, in the Bahamas. But anyhow, Beryl Cheatham. And so now let's look at number 17. And there's Beryl again, next to Savitri Devi. And look who's standing next to her, Hans Ulrich Rudel, probably the greatest pilot ever in history.
Amazing.
Yeah, and his gorgeous wife, Ursula. They were very, very right-wing, swastika flag and all, which is where Colonel Rudel got into trouble. He couldn't even be buried in Nuremberg. He's buried about an hour out in a little churchyard, and we go there to put flowers on his grave whenever we're over there in Germany. Now, Beryl also was very, very staunch neo, and I met her at a solstice. I think it was a summer solstice at the house of my friend Manfred Roeder, who was supposedly the scariest radical in all Germany. The guy was like a Sunday school teacher, but she had been the mistress of another one of our members who's a good friend of mine. I don't think I should say his name because he's still alive. And one more surprise, look at photo 18.
Wait, before you go to 18, what did Beryl do during the war?
Now, she was awfully young during the war, but she was very sympathetic, mm-hmm. and she was kind of a rabble-rouser later on into the 60s, late 50s and early 60s.
Well, Cheatham is not a regular Orthodox Germanic name.
No, this is in England.
Yeah. So my point is, in England, there were sympathizers. We don't ever talk about that because it's not supposed to be talked about. But
No.
Germany had a lot of support in England.
It was huge over there with the black shirts. It had a huge operation going.
And compared to England, an even larger support base was in the United States. Something like 75% of Americans or 80% supported Germany or at least didn't want anything to do with a conflict in Europe. Nothing.
It was more like 87%. People like Gary Cooper and Lindbergh, they were all saying, stay out of the war. This is a European problem. Stay the hell out of it. So then Japan attacked us in Pearl Harbor, and we decided we hated Germany because Japan attacked us. Now, there's no logic in that whatsoever.
No. Okay. Very good. Next picture, 18.
18. There's Savitri Devi. There's Beryl Cheatham. Can you recognize the guy I got a circle around? George Lincoln Rockwell.
Oh, my, it is.
Yep. So this was when the neo-Nazi movement was really big in the early 60s. Beryl was right in there with them. And, of course, Savitri Devi, she wrote a book, Women Against Time, which I know nothing about. But, I mean, this was an outward neo-Nazi camp.
Yeah,
back in the
60s
in England.
Yeah. Wow. Very good. Very good. These are good pictures. Very interesting.
Well, like I say, out of our 282,000 and something photographs, we got a lot of photos nobody's ever seen before, and we're coming up on a few of them that's going to rock some more history.
Okay. Next up, time out for free membership in Shark Hunters.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
You read that right. Totally free membership in the only really accurate source of history of the German U-boats and much more. So
correct.
Many of the U-boat skippers and veterans were members, and they gave us their memories. Go ahead, Maestro.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is free. This is not, you know, buy one, get one free or anything like that. For the rest of the year, no charge whatsoever. Just send us your name and your email address, and you're a member until December 31. Absolutely free. And then after that, if you want to stay, and we hope you do, then you just pay your $50 a year. If you don't want to, then just drop out. There's absolutely no obligation. And but we just, you know, need your name and your
email
address, and you're on. And you get the magazine. Jeff, you get our magazine. You've been a member since 2013, and you've been getting the magazines.
It's a wonderful publication. I don't know how you do it.
Jammed full of information. The front cover I'm showing here was last month's issue. This fantastic formal dining room that's been closed for decades. And if we ever get to go to Argentina again, we're going to go in there. We've got the green light. They'll let us in to photograph. That's where Martin Bormann ate for 2 years after the war.
Yeah.
Our friend Martin has that arranged for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where was that? Where's this dining room? Is it in a hotel or freestanding?
Yeah, that's in the Plaza Hotel in Buenos Aires.
Okay. All right.
Magnificent place.
People need to remember that Argentina was essentially a European country in many ways.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They don't understand that.
Full of Germans.
Yeah. Still.
Absolutely.
Paraguay as well.
Uruguay was more pro-British, but everybody else down there was pro-German. I don't speak Spanish worth squat. But I get along fine with my German down there. In little towns like Hohenau and in the Edelweiss Hotel at the Tyrol Resort. Very nice.
Number 20.
29.
No, not 29.
Oh, no, 20. You're right. Hey, nobody ever called me dumb and didn't mean it. Number 20.
Chocolate cake and ice cream with strawberries on top.
Yeah. Look back at photo number 3. That's the same gal. Her name was Hedwig Eva Maria Kessler, but in America we knew her as Hedy Lamarr. She was an Austrian Jewish woman. She married a guy named Fritz Mandel, who was a multi-gazillionaire weapons dealer, and it's not just rumor, but he gave her to Hitler for one night, I assume to get a weapons contract, but it's in her autobiography that he gave her to Hitler for a night, and apparently she didn't like the war or how it was going or any of that, and she escaped during the war and came to the United States, where Louis B. Mayer saw promise in her. I think you know what that means. shades of Harvey Weinstein, I'm assuming. But anyhow, she invented some things that the American military used during the war. Brilliant lady. And she lived
patents.
Out her... She got a lot of patents, yeah. She lived out her life 40 miles from where I'm sitting right now in a little town in central Florida, Zephyr Hills. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I think I read that she wound up suing Mel Brooks over the movie Blazing Saddles, where Harvey Korman kept playing Hedley Lamarr. Mm-hmm. And so she allegedly sued and won. Very brilliant lady, very bright lady, and a great movie star. She was billed as the most beautiful woman in the world. I think that's a stretch. How do you know? But she was gorgeous. And her ex-husband, Fritz Mandel, went to Argentina into the town of La Falda, where the Eden Hotel is. That's another whole story. And he built a castle, for God's sake, an actual castle down there. We were in it some years ago. Nice to have money.
Wow. All right, number 21.
Yep, we know who that is. Evita.
Looks like a Girl Scout.
Yeah, that was when she was young. Of course, she never really got to be old. She was, what, in her 30s when she died, wasn't it?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she was probably a nice lady, but she was a hooker. His second wife and his third wife, they were both hookers. I don't know about the first one. But you look at number 22, that was a painting. And after he got bounced out of power in 1955, it was against the law to even say the name Perón in public.
Gee.
But later on, but when I started going there in 2008, the Peronista Party was starting to emerge, and now it's one of the biggest, I think it's the biggest political party in Argentina, and she's referred to now as Santa Evita, Saint Evita. But in the primaries, I understand, their federal government and all the state governments got their head handed to them on a platter. They lost big in the primaries, according to what I heard from one of my friends down there who's a retired lieutenant commander from their Navy and a doctor. So other people's politics, who cares? Our politics are too screwed up to worry about.
We don't have politics in the traditional sense. We've been taken over.
Yeah, right.
Now, here's something. By and for the people, not here.
Yeah.
Number 23.
Here's one of them shockers. Look at her hands. Evita. They've removed her fingers. This photo was taken by one of our members, Aldo, in Italy. Because after Perón got knocked out of power in 1955, her body had laid in state for years. I saw the room where she was taxidermied, not embalmed, but she laid in state, just like she was sleeping for years. And I was in that hall where her body had laid. And when the revolt came and Perón got kicked out of power, he ran off to Spain, I believe, and her body was taken to Milano, outside of Milano, Italy, and buried there. And Aldo got this photo just before she was buried. And then some years later, when Perón came back to power, her body was allegedly brought up from Italy and sent back over there, where it's in the family Duarte sarcophagus. But Aldo is firmly convinced that she is still in the graveyard in Milano. And I was there, and he showed me. And so he's got all sorts of documents to show that she was never brought back up and sent back to South America. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But why did somebody take off her fingers? Probably for the same reason somebody broke into Juan Perón's crypt and took off his hands. Not for some kind of macabre souvenir, but we think the fingerprints were necessary to open secret accounts. Look at her hand there. She's been dead for years in this photograph, and her hands have not withered up like a body. So the fingerprints are still there. Like I say, they were taxidermied, or however you put it. So...
Well, they took the tip off of one of them and the whole finger off. I'm not sure if that first one's removed or not. But anyway, her hands were crossed. You can see that. Her hands were clasped.
Yeah, right.
And they took the tip off of one, the ring finger of one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay, got it. This, strange. Very strange.
Yeah, it's a riddle we'll never unsolve. Unravel.
Well, so this picture was taken in Italy when she was shipped over there to be buried. Is that the deal?
That's correct, yeah. Aldo got that photo.
Mm-hmm. Some writing on the wrist above the bracelet. See it?
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Writing. Somebody, it says Cooper was here or something.
Yeah, and I got all that money, right? Yeah, I got all the money out of the secret accounts. Got it buried in the backyard along with all the Nazi gold we dug up.
Yeah.
Which is why we've got next to nothing in the bank account right now.
Yeah. All right, very interesting. Number 24.
Another one of Juan Perón's hooker wives, Isabelita. I think you understand what she's doing with her right arm. And this photo was taken in 1974. The Reich was already out of business for almost 20 years. She is still alive. She's 90 years old. I wrote to her about 15 years ago, very nice, polite letter, telling her who I was and asked if I could come over and talk to her and interview. She never answered me. And I find now she's a recluse. She never comes out of her house. She has everything delivered. Nobody sees her. Mm-hmm. And she's living in the same section of Spain where Otto Kretschmer and Eric Topp had winter homes. Costa Bella, I think it was. And also that's where Leon Degrelle was living.
Oh, yeah.
When the German government tried to kidnap him twice, to where the Spanish government had to tell the German government, stop coming into this country to kidnap people.
Yeah. Isabelita is still alive. Interesting.
Yeah. Yep, she had become the president of Argentina after Juan Perón came back. He was the president again, then he died, and she became president, and she got overthrown in a coup, and she was held prisoner in, I forget the name of the place, it's also up in the Cordoba area, and then they shipped her over to Spain. So I can understand why she didn't want to talk to me 15 years ago. She's got a ton of money, living a good life, and why rock the boat?
Correct. Okay. Number 48.
I don't know why it says 48. Really meant 25.
All right. That's Holdeen. We'll get to more about Holdeen Goebbels in a little bit here. That's just look at that little girl, okay?
Yep.
And in fact, we'll do it right now.
Right now, yeah.
That little girl, gosh, it's quite a story. All right, look at the next picture, 26.
Yeah, we'll keep it short, but...
That's Holdeen.
That's Holdeen again. How can that be? She was poisoned by her parents, died in the bunker. Horse
remember, all the Goebbels' children were dead and laid out. Remember that.
Right. And here's a 27, number 27. That's a close-up of the legs of a couple of the children. Look at those legs. They're skinny. They're withered. They're undernourished. Rumor
couldn't possibly be, yes, fraud.
Right. Theory is that these were kids out of the camps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know absolutely Holdeen and her mother went to South America. These two doctors who are members of Shark Hunters, Franco and Christian, they're in love. He's an eye surgeon, I believe, and she is an OB-GYN. And they met her when Christian was doing free clinic, and she told him who she was, and they thought she was nuts, I guess. And she had a scrapbook that she had been keeping from the time she was a little kid, writing down all her experiences and everything. And I saw that scrapbook. I held it in my hand. The thing weighs about 10 pounds. It's about, I'm guessing, 9-10 inches thick. And they wrote a book. The two doctors wrote a book about her and her life, et cetera. And I'm trying to figure a way to get it published up here, but it's 1,400 pages long. Who's going to read a 1,400-page long book?
Well, if it's translated,
there'll
be an audience.
Oh, yeah, it's in English.
It's not
loads of photos.
Why, you need to put it on Shark Hunters and offer it in conjunction with something else. Buy this book, get this book free, whatever. That book
yeah.
is... Do we have a copy of that up here?
I've got it on a thumb drive.
I'd like to have a copy of that book in English.
And they,
that's fascinating.
In this book, she names people. Apparently, she and her mother escaped with Dr. Varnet, Dr. Carl Varnet, who was a Dane. He was a major in the SS. He was a doctor. He was the one who wanted to cure homosexuals by transplanting monkey nuts into gay guys, and I don't think that worked. But he went down to South America, and I was by what used to be his clinic. It's now a Chinese food market. But he's buried there. Carl Barnett, I saw his tomb. And she names all sorts of people. And this Tyrolean resort, the Tyrol, in Paraguay. Who the hell names something German in South America? Well, that's what it is down there, of course. And that's where, this could be 2 hours long here, but anyhow, that's where Stroessner, who was the dictator of Paraguay, used to meet with Bormann, Mengele, and even a few times with Hitler and Eichmann. And I was in the room, and this little old lady there confirmed, yeah, she saw these guys there in the 40s, in the 50s.
That was in the hotel. The hotel in the middle of nowhere. That's Paraguay.
In the middle of nowhere, you betcha.
That's Paraguay.
Right, in the jungle. Mm-hmm. It's surrounded on three sides by jungle. And one day, six Mossad agents come through the front gate. They were going to grab Mengele, like they had done, like other Mossad guys had done with Eichmann. But Eichmann was not under any protection, whereas Mengele was, because he had a ton of money. And so the owner of the hotel was shoving him out the window in his underwear as the Mossad guys were coming through the front gate of the hotel. And rather than capturing Mengele, they wound up all six of them with their throats slashed and dumped in the jungle. But she, this gal, Holdeen, had done a sketch, a drawing, a color drawing of the front of the Tyrol Hotel, and it was exactly like it was when we rolled up there three or four, 2016, right after I fell off my roof and broke my back.
We showed those pictures, just remarkable pictures from that scrapbook
of
the hotel, and there were two people coming out the door waving at her, and she was going toward them. We don't know who those two people were, but it might be in print in the book. I don't know.
I'll have to spend some time and go through it. But, man, oh, man, 1,400 pages. That's a bunch. Very interesting, but it's a lot of stuff.
I would like to get a hard copy of that someday. Now, let's tell them who Holdeen's father was.
Holdeen's father was Uncle Adi. It's pretty well determined that Hitler was the one who fathered Holdeen Goebbels during his romances with Magda.
Magda
Goebbels, incidentally, was the heiress to the BMW fortune.
Wow.
And I think Mauser also. I'd have to do some more research, but I think she was heiress to the Mauser fortune also.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at Super History Special. It's clever how you snuck those in there. ordering books or anything else from Shark Hunters is easy. Just go to sharkhunters.com/books, and they're there. They're all there.
Yeah, the biggest interest, of course, is in our Hitler Escape series. We got four books, Hitler in Argentina, which proves absolutely he went with backup FBI files and everything. Hitler and the Secret Alliance shows how it was so easy for thousands of people escaping from the Reich to just slide into Argentina. Hitler's spy web pretty well tells the story, but we show photos of the houses of Bormann and Mengele, et cetera, all the houses they lived in. And then the last one, the plan to rescue Hitler, that pretty well self-explanatory as well.
That's amazing history. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing history. Harry writes these in his sleep.
Yeah, pretty much, because, today, what is it? It's coming up on 11 o'clock at night. I've been at my desk since 4 this morning. I drink a lot of tea.
It's the sugar.
Yeah, I'm getting up about the same time you're going to bed.
Just about. 3-4 a.m. is common for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 29. Who's that dapper guy on the left?
Look at that. Yeah, that's Uncle Artie. And that's Inga Binga. Who is Inga Binga? At the time this photo was taken, Inga Arvad was a Danish reporter, I guess. She was also the mistress of Axel Winogren, who was the most wealthy man in the world at that time. He owned almost all of what is now Paradise Island in the Bahamas. And she was his mistress, and she was also Hitler's date for the 1936 Olympics. If you look at the pictures in the stands, you'll probably see her.
Interesting.
Then you click
on
it.
Look at the furs they had back in the day. That was.
Oh, God, yes. You'd have PETA going nuts if they did that today.
Yeah. Yeah. Those furs are probably still around, a lot of them. Stuck in closets.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, they're in closets.
That's a very expensive coat. That'd probably be $40,000-$50,000 in today's money.
Yeah.
But what did she care? Her lover, Axel Winogren, was the wealthiest man in the world. He owned 5 million acres of Sweden, which was his country. He owned the Bofors Armaments Company. You know, everybody had what they called the pom-pom guns. You could see them, you know, the double-barrel guns,
the
40-millimeter aircraft.
Bofors,
pom,
yeah.
Pom, pom, pom.
Yeah.
And he also founded the Electrolux Vacuum Cleaner Company, of which Dog the Bounty Hunter was one of their top salesmen.
Pretty clever. Okay. Number 30.
January
1942 at the Washington Times.
Yep, that's Inga Binga again. 1940, before the U.S. got into the war, she came over, 40 or 41, and she met and became friends with the sister of John F. Kennedy, who was at that time a young lieutenant in naval intelligence. And he and Inga Binga got to sweating up the sheets all over Washington, D.C.
I've never heard that one before. That's good.
Oh, okay. And J. Edgar Hoover, he hated the Kennedys, and he was bugging the hotel rooms, getting pictures and everything, and he was pressuring Roosevelt to kick John F. Kennedy out of the Navy. But Papa Joe Kennedy didn't want his kid kicked out of the Navy, but he didn't want him to marry this divorced non-Catholic. So they got the idea to send him to the South Pacific and give him a PT boat. And that's how he left naval intelligence for the war. After the war was over, they tried to rekindle the romance, but the fire had gone out, and she ultimately married, I think in 1946, she married one of the top cowboy actors back in those days, Tim McCoy. Or Tim Holt.
No
Tim
kidding.
Holt, I'm sorry.
Tim Holt. Yeah, there were a
Tim
bunch
Holt.
Of them.
Right. Tim Holt was the guy that wore two pistols, but he had one in each boot, and he had one tucked behind his back, so this guy never ran out of bullets. But she died on their ranch in Arizona, I believe it was, either in the 60s or when she was in her 60s, something like that. She had cancer and died.
Wow. Well, that picture of her with Uncle Addie is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous woman.
Okay. Speaking of gorgeous women, we're going to dispense with that for the next photo.
Okay, look back at photo number two. She's the naked one on the left in the photo. That is Angela Merkel, who is the Chancellor of Germany today. Now, I'm not saying she had anything to do with the Reich, because she couldn't. She was born 1954. And the reason I put it in here, there are rumors sort of connecting with the Reich, but I think they're just goofy rumors. One rumor is that she was Adolf Hitler's daughter. That would be hard to do since she was born, I think, 1954, and by then he was already 9 years down in Argentina. So that's not very likely. And also, the other rumor is that she is a clone from some of Hitler's DNA. I haven't found any proof whatsoever of that. But I thought we would put it up there anyhow, just because there might have been some theoretical rumor, maybe.
She sure does look like him. I mean, there are pictures of her.
That's been said before.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the case, I'd love to see some proof on it. But right now, all we got is rumors.
Well, if that were his daughter, he would have had to have fathered that child. Well, maybe not. I don't know. He was in bad shape and toward the end there. And
yeah.
I don't know if he'd be fathering much of anything. But
I don't know either.
Could he have fathered her during the war? There are so many stories and no way to corroborate any of them.
Mm-mm.
You know, one of the only people that knows the truth is that woman.
Yeah.
Well, she's done enough to wreck Germany for a hundred of
them. Been, she's not real popular with our German members.
Horrible communist. Horrible.
Yeah, well, she was born and raised in East Germany.
Yeah, that's right.
And she couldn't even afford a swimsuit.
No, that's poor, too.
Back in them days, I think everybody swam naked.
If they were just girls having fun. If anyone is offended, I apologize. I was supposed to. Harry forgot to remind me. We were going to cover up strategic areas with whatever. All right.
Their feet, right?
That's where the appetizers were written, right?
Whatever you say.
Well, they had part-time jobs in a Polish restaurant. That was a joke. Okay. Let's see.
48.
Hannah Reich.
There's number 32, but somehow we got number 48 on there again. I don't know.
It's all right.
Hannah Reich.
Tough as nails.
Incredible lady.
Yeah.
Tiny little thing, and she was an awesome pilot. She got her pilot's wings there, you see, and also the Iron Cross. She was the one that flew a V-1 bomb, although it didn't have a warhead. They fitted it out with a cockpit, and she was training people to fly. And she flew into Berlin, I think, in a Fiesler Storch, and was begging Hitler to come out, and Hitler said, no, he ain't going. That was before Martin Bormann drugged him and had him dragged out. But then she left with her boyfriend, Robert Ritter von Greim, and he got wounded from, I think, Soviet ground fire, and they landed somewhere and were taken prisoner. He committed suicide. After the war, she was treated like she should have been, like a great lady aviatrix. When she toured the United States, the Army Air Corps people just were awesome to her. Also, she went down to South America, and she took Holdeen Goebbels up in her plane when Holdeen was about 10 and flew over this one farm where they had lived for some years after the war in Argentina. And we went there, or was that Paraguay? Anyhow, I went there with the two doctors. Yeah, it was in Paraguay. Because there was an X on the thing she drew, which showed where her mother had buried a chest of something. Not Nazi gold, but it would be historical stuff. And Dr. Franco made the mistake of showing the drawing to the farmer and said, hey, there's something here. We want to go dig it. And he says, no, get off my farm right now. And I think he went and dug it. We don't know. But you never tell the people what you're doing.
Oh, it's been dug up by now.
I'm sure.
Do that. Yeah.
I'm sure. He said he was going to go get a backhoe. Jesus, no, you don't do that with historic stuff. You use a shovel. Carefully.
Right. Well, okay. Next.
Next, number 33, we have to cover Eva Braun. She was a bit of a party girl, too. in addition to what we know about her. Here's a picture of her, number 33, doing exercises there at the Königssee. And when we're over there for our history tours, we go out on a tour boat on the Königssee, and we pass this little spit of land where she's exercising now. She also used to swim nude, which upset Hitler quite a bit. She also used to smoke, and that upset Hitler. But then, what did he do?
And by the way, Hitler was the first world head of state to declare a national war on cancer.
Oh, okay, right, yeah. He did a lot of things you're not supposed to know about. He outlawed vivisection. And for those who don't know what vivisection is, that's cutting open an animal while they're awake with no anesthetic to see how all the parts are working inside. It's horribly painful, barbaric, and he outlawed that. But you're not supposed to know that.
Right.
He was a vegetarian.
We should also mention, we don't have a lot of time left, but the idea that Hitler and Eva Braun might have had a couple of children.
Yeah, that's speculative.
Very tenuous. Yeah.
Right. Everybody's got a theory about that, but nobody has hard fact. Hitler had a son, there's no two ways about that, from a hooker in World War One. That's no argument. Nobody argues that. And the guy died, I think, 1958, something like that. I've seen news articles about him and everything. But as far as him and Eva, everybody has a theory. Nobody has one shred of evidence saying yes or no. So we just go on with the assumption that we don't know.
All right. Number 34.
Here's one of those stereotypical poses. Excuse me. Like I say, she was kind of a party girl, and you're supposed to think she's naked behind there, but I've got a little circle. You can see the bottom of her swimsuit, so she's wearing a swimsuit.
Sure.
I used to have a secretary that had photos like that. Same thing, only she was holding a giant beach ball. Had a swimsuit on, but not supposed to see that.
Now, number 35, Eva 35. Black.
35. Yeah,
Eva Black.
That's Eva. Eva Braun.
At a party.
In blackface.
Costume party. Yeah.
Whatever, yeah, but oh my God, if she was still alive today, man, they'd vilify her something fierce. And yet, you know, that's been whipped out of all reality by the lamestream press.
It was socially acceptable for decades, yeah. Fun thing.
When I was a kid in Berkeley, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago, my dad was president of the trustees and the men's club of our church, Presbyterian mm-hmm. Church, and they had a minstrel show every year to raise money, and they were all in blackface, and they all did the dialects and all that. Everybody thought it was cool. They made a lot of money for the church. Nobody thought they were insulting anybody, because they weren't. But now, oh my God, you know, I never wore blackface, but my dad did, so I suppose somebody's going to be mad at me for that, but that's just the way it was.
Well, I don't know. I don't really like to end our little walk through history with these next three pictures, but it is very
I understand there, but it's necessary.
Yeah,
because
I got it. Yeah. This is what people don't understand, and it's not their fault. And I mean, people all around the world don't understand what happened to Germany after hostilities ceased.
Right.
And not just then, but for the next 8 or 9 years after that.
Yeah.
It didn't
right.
stop.
Yeah. Unfortunately, these are sad photos, but they're necessary. Number 36, these are two Soviet soldiers grabbing a young German girl. Number 37, these guys are raping this girl, and there's nothing she can do, and the men can't help because they'd get shot if they did, if there were even any men still alive. The next one, 38, the one that the guy is helping up, she's stunned. She'd been gang raped and her companion on the ground there. It's happening to her right there. And
see, I'm not excusing any conquering military. They're all guilty of similar acts, but not on the scale of the Soviet hordes that overran Germany in the
right.
East. Not on that scale. They were being yelled and urged and coerced and entreated and begged to ravage every single German woman they could find.
From 8 to 80, more or less.
That's what they were told to do. That's right.
Yeah, this guy, Ilya Ehrenberg, was one of their radio.
He was the guy. He was the cheerleader.
Yeah, he was telling them, you know, if you haven't killed a German today, if you haven't killed a German man, hell, the war was over for 2 weeks, but they're still shooting men like you'd shoot a rabbit out in the field. And you must rape all the German women to break their spirit. That's what he was telling them. And number 39 is the way it ended for so many hundreds of thousands of German women. They'll never know. Some estimates are up well over a million who committed suicide or were murdered. German women will never know. But shame on us for keeping that part of the history alive. We're supposed to just treat them as all horrible people, terrible Nazis, and that's just not the way it was.
Nope. All right. Again, let's remind everyone, if you have any interest in history, real history, you will never have a better opportunity to find out about it with Harry and his magnificent organization, Shark Hunters. It is stunning. I don't know how he does it. He's a miracle. And what he puts out is always fascinating. And you join for free till the end of the year.
Right.
Get the magazine.
Just need your name and your email address. That's it.
Wow. Okay. Now, this fake pandemic has messed up a lot of plans.
You mean the scamdemic?
Whatever you want to call it, it's a fraud, and everybody with a brain now knows it or suspects it. And I feel sorry for the people who think MSNBC is news, or CNBC or CNN. They're just being
those are places where so-called newscasters go to watch their careers die.
Yeah, but they don't die quick enough for many of them. Okay, history. His story, history. It's there, and you can avail yourself of things that nowhere else in the world can you find such a treasury of archives of real history. It's all there. Fabulous things.
For 38 years.
Well, you have the forever gratitude of a lot of U-boat members, young and old, during the war and after the war, who were members of Shark Hunters and who had no recognition at all for the bravery that they put out for their country. They weren't ideologues of the party. They were fighting for their country.
Right.
It's like our guys were. Our gals were.
Exactly.
Same thing.
And Admiral Dönitz never belonged to any political party, the Nazi party or any, and he made it a rule in the Navy, nobody in the Navy could belong to any political party. So you notice every time you see them saluting, they're saluting with the military salute, not the right arm in the air. But after the attempt on Hitler's life, then they pretty well pushed that you had to do the right arm in the air thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How many attempts were there that we know about?
I don't know. I've heard all sorts of different numbers. There was one guy who had
five, six, something like that.
I don't know. Had one guy had explosives strapped to himself, and he was supposed to hug Hitler when he got off the airplane, but somehow that one didn't work out. And then, of course, we know about von Stauffenberg. Hitler was unscathed, even though it blew his clothing to shreds and killed several people. We were there during a Shark Hunters group. We were there in the Wolfschanze. The building where the bomb was planted was gone. That was just a wooden building, a map room. But we stayed overnight, and then we went to the train station right nearby where there's that famous photo of Hitler and Goering and a couple others meeting the train that Mussolini came in on. And we were there. It's overgrown and abandoned. And we were at the airport where von Stauffenberg got on the plane to fly back to Berlin. He went back and told everybody, Hitler's dead, we're in charge. And somebody told him, no, he ain't, and no, you aren't. Please stand over here by the wall.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that courtyard where they executed him, it's almost like a shrine to von Stauffenberg. There's a plaque on the wall where he got shot. And inside the second floor of the police headquarters is all a museum to the conspirators that tried to kill Hitler. Whether you like the guy or not, whether you love him or hate him, it's still against the law to try to kill the chief. But it's also an old adage that if you're going to try to kill the boss, you better make sure you succeed. Otherwise, you're going to pay the price, which is what happened.
Some. Yeah. Real quick, travel plans, if the fakery will stop.
Yeah, we're all set up. If they get their head out of their you-know-where. In September, we'll be in Bavaria and Austria at many, many famous places, historic
Which
places.
Which September? Not this one. Next one.
No, we are in this September. No, we would have been there except for the scamdemic. No, next September 2022, we'll be in Bavaria and Austria. Incredible places. You cannot get a bad meal there. You cannot get a bad beer there, and you cannot take a bad photograph there. The people are nice. They're friendly. The scenery is just breathtaking. Everything, and it's old, it's historic, it's beautiful. And then in November of 2022, we'll be in Argentina. A lot of history for the Third Reich down there in Argentina. In Buenos Aires, there are restaurants where Mengele and Bormann used to go. The German Club will be at the German Club, one for dinner one night.
The house that Hitler lived in for maybe longer than any other house in his life, except childhood.
10 years
house.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, 10 years he lived there.
Yeah, from Buenos Aires, we're going to fly down to San Carlos de Bariloche and go through Villa Langostura. Now, Bariloche was a hotbed of activity during and after the war. So many of the big-name guys were there, Bormann, Mengele, Eichmann, and even Hitler. And years after the war, also famous people were there. Dwight Eisenhower, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. During their presidencies, and also John Kerry, just before he left the office of Secretary of State. They were all down there at this magnificent resort called Xiao Xiao.
All right, we'll talk more about that. LLAO. Yeah. We've got to wrap it up. We're running late here.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. Lao Lao, 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 Xiao Xiao. All these things are on the calendar for next year. So we'll talk more about that.
You betcha. And the tunnel and bunker we found underneath his home.
Wow. Okay. Good night, Admiral. Thank you very much. Go get some shut eye. Great job.
I got to walk the dog first, then we go into bed.
Okay. All right.
Have a great evening.
Thanks. Okay, the one and only Harry Cooper, sharkhunters.com. Free memberships. Grab one. We'll be right back.